You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor News update recorded on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. I'm Mark Boulanger. Union leaders from around the world will be meeting with government representatives of the G20 group of countries in Turkey this week. Radio Labor's senior correspondent Seemarie Ainsborough has a report.
The global group of union leaders, known as the L20, will be meeting with government labor and finance ministers this week to lobby for action on unemployment, inequality, the rise in perilous work, and other issues. The L20 is the parallel union group to the G20 group of countries which meet to discuss global economic matters. The G20 finance and labor ministers will be meeting in Turkey this week, September 3rd to 5th. One of the major demands of the union leaders is more government support for public investment in social and physical infrastructure. The L20 estimates that expansion of public infrastructure investment by 1% of GDP across the G20 could create up to 3.8% more growth over a five-year period, compared to current policies. The union leaders say that particular emphasis should be placed on addressing climate change. The meeting of the finance and labor ministers is being held in Turkey because the country will host the conference of G20 national leaders in November of this year. This is Seemarie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
Hello, I'm Frances O'Grady, and I'm asking you to get involved in the TUC's campaign to stop the government's trade union reform bill.
Frances O'Grady is the General Secretary of the British Trades Union Congress, the TUC. She is leading a national campaign to stop the introduction of a new law which will severely limit the right to strike in the country. The law, being brought forward by the UK's right-wing Conservative government, will make it even more difficult to hold fair strike votes. It will also allow workers from temporary employment services, known in the UK as agency workers, to be used as strike breakers.
In any modern democracy, it's important to protect the right to strike. For most people, striking and losing pay is always a last resort. But if we don't have the right to strike, then all the power is in the employer's hands. And this bill is designed to do just that, to tilt those scales of justice against ordinary working people. Under the terms of the bill, new thresholds will be introduced that make it almost impossible for many unions to secure a majority. And the government refuses to listen to our proposal for electronic and online balloting that we know would boost participation, something that all good Democrats should support. The bill also gives employers the right and encourages them to use agency workers to break strikes. We think that's an appalling position to put agency workers in and is just plain wrong and unfair. The bill will also require unions and trade unionists to publish protest and picketing plans. And that means that we have to tell the employer, the police and the authorities everything that we plan to do in advance of doing it, including what we're going to write on Facebook, what we're going to write on Twitter, and requiring the picket supervisor to wear an armband. And if you forget to do that or you make any mistake, then the union could be fined £20,000 each and every time. That's designed to hit us in our pockets. And the bill will also make it much more difficult for ordinary working people to have a political voice through the campaigning that we do using our political funds. It's just plain partisan. So please do join us. If you believe in trade unionism, if you believe in civil liberties, if you believe in the right of working people to stand up for each other and look after each other, then let's campaign together against this bill.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, mobile phones, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Kerr. During a press conference with Republican frontrunner Donald Trump, Univision anchor Jorge Ramos pressed Trump on his promise to forcibly remove undocumented immigrants from the United States. Trump's initial response was to have security escort Ramos out. His ejection from Trump's press conference garnered national headlines and was roundly condemned by Spanish-language media. But the reaction among right-wing media personalities has been to instead attack Ramos for speaking out of turn. Here's Howard Kurtz from Fox News' Media Buzz.
Just to be clear, Jorge Ramos is the chief anchor of Univision.
That's right.
Chief news anchor, which is the largest Spanish language network in the country.
That's right.
And so he clearly has opinions on this issue, but he's not paid to go and disrupt events. I mean, I thought at times he seemed like a heckler.
Actually, I have to
say. Like a heckler.
But Kurtz was just the tip of the iceberg. Ramos asking tough questions about Trump's immigration plan during the press conference have been widely criticized at Fox News, including on Fox News' Hannity and the O'Reilly Factor. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. Folks, want to remind you, please go to our website, www.theunionedge.com, and sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together, and we're all working hard to improve our communities, that's for sure. In studio today, we've got Rosemary Trump, former International Vice President for SEIU. Rosemary?
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And also joining us, Charlie McCulliser, former professor at Indiana University of Pittsburgh and machinist.
Great to be here.
Always a pleasure, yes. Guys. Always a pleasure. So, Rosemary, refugees in Europe.
Absolutely. I mean, we really have a humanitarian crisis going on in this world. I mean, where hundreds of thousands of Syrians and Afghans, Sudans, Iraqis, they want to leave their country because of all the military explosions that are going on, you know, between the airstrikes and the recruitment of children to go to war, and if they don't, their mutilation and brainwashing. It really is it's unfathomable to us here in America. Unfortunately, I guess the ocean separates us enough that we really don't understand the depth that's going on in those countries, where over 3,000 this summer have died on the oceans trying to flee their countries and go to a more civilized nation. And of course, the European nations are being overwhelmed. Hungary's response is to build a wall, except I guess it's a fence with barbed wire. And they're stopping trains and, there's starvation and deprivation. And the fact is, that's what's happening in the real world. And 26 European nations are trying to figure out what to do with this sudden influx of these migrants that are looking for an opportunity to resettle and start a new life. One that is in peaceful conditions and find a job and just have what everybody wants, which is stability and opportunity. And so then on the other hand, you have all the Republican candidates, along with following the lead of Liz Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney, and their new book, Exceptional: Why the World Needs a Powerful America, which basically says, the worst mistake that was ever made was to leave Afghanistan and leave Iraq. And
then why did that administration negotiate a withdrawal?
Exactly. Why did they?
It was not President Obama that negotiated that withdrawal. It was the previous administration, and it was the previous administration that could not get a deal for a status of forces agreement for U.S. military personnel. And U.S. military personnel do not go into harm's way without that agreement. Not in Korea, not in Germany, not anywhere else in the world. and they do not go there and they do not stay there unless they have that agreement. And it was the Bush administration that failed to get that agreement and forced the Obama administration to leave Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, never let the facts get in the way of reality.
Well,
you know, I mean, but the fact of the matter, you know, they're on the, you know, the PR circuit to sell this book that basically says we should basically have permanent war in the Middle East. In other words, bring the troop back into these countries, continue the warfare against ISIS and any other terrorist groups. Well, and the Republican candidates are basically saying the same thing, including, you know, don't have an agreement with Iran. Don't have, you know, let's keep this, you know, this turmoil within Iran. And all this is producing.
When is Liz Cheney going to sign up for the military?
That's exactly right. And also, that's, by the way, waterboarding was not a form of taking advantage of people or persecution. And so what if that's their position, these Republican candidates, then they need to be asked the question, when are we going to start sending United States Airbus planes to these countries and start evacuating all women and children who are in harm's way of this war that they want in those countries, plus remove any men who do not want to engage in warfare and evacuate those people so that they do not have to risk their lives finding the money to pay off smugglers and risking their lives on boats that may sink, and the inhumane way they're being treated when they finally do land on an island that might be in Greece, or we have to bring some sanity back to our world. And we're not going to bring sanity back by always finding a military solution to our problems.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I've got a couple of things I'd like to say about that. Number one, next time we send troops into harm's way, one third of Congress goes with them. Yeah, they pick one third of Congress and they send them into harm's way, and they are co-located with major military installations, and they stay,
do it on a rotating basis,
right,
so that they all go.
Right.
I mean, even if they don't go on the front lines, at least they should be there to observe what their policies are.
Right.
Are producing.
And anytime we are, you know, we declare war, well, guess what? The draft just got instituted, and there's no exemption for wealth. And there's none of this, I got a boil on my backside, or I have pooped my pants for the last 30 days to get out of it.
Because, or that I have a spur on my foot.
Yeah, and if you can't serve in the military, well, guess what? There are plenty of functions that you can do here stateside to support the war effort. I'm just saying.
And there's plenty of non-combat duties over there they could perform as well.
Yeah.
They could clean the toilets.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're going to take a short break, come back, and we're going to let people digest that one for a minute. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Donnie Trump is said to be the biggest thing in American politics these days. Of course, that's mostly being said by him, then repeated ad nauseum by media gone gaga over his summer of self-worship. In essence, Trump is nothing but a figment of his own imagination, and his presidential candidacy is even less substantial than a figment. As columnist Maureen Dowd notes, his campaign is like a, quote, runaway Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon. In fact, that image pretty well sums up the Donald. A huge plastic cartoonish balloon bloated with gaseous ego and floating precariously above us. The danger of Donnie, however, is not that he'll get elected, but that his racist, nativist, xenophobic nonsense is giving permission for others to spout the same ugliness in public and for other candidates to adopt some of his ugliest policies. For instance, by mindlessly and repeatedly asserting that immigrants from Mexico are rapists and murderers, the narcissistic TV celebrity has pushed this dehumanizing and dangerous stereotype from the darkest fringe of paranoid politics directly into the Republican race for president. Moreover, Trump has turned this vile bias into a vile proposal to revoke, quote, birthright citizenship, which is our Constitution's guarantee that children born here are citizens. This smug son of privilege wants to take that basic right away from the U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants. Such rank political exploitation of children should be scorned and rejected as un-American, but instead, it's being embraced, not only by far-out GOP wannabes like Ted Cruz and Bobby Jindal, but also by some supposedly serious candidates, including Scott Walker and even Jeb Bush. This is Jim Hightower saying, Trump seems proud to be a buffoon, but his pusillanimous copycat rivals clearly have no pride at all.
If you or a loved one that served in America's armed forces, here's a great way to show your pride as a veteran and to help a veteran at the same time. Introducing the Rags of Honor Military T-Shirt Collection, an impressive collection of shirts for both men and women, featuring exclusive designs for each branch of our armed forces. You'll love the way these shirts look and feel, and you can wear them with pride. Check out our entire collection today at ragsofhonor.us. That's ragsofhonor.us. They had our backs. Let's keep the shirt on theirs. ragsofhonor.us.
Hi, Mom. Is Claire's birthday party today? Me again, Mom. Where did I put my history book? Hi. Sorry, forgot one last thing. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. At school, I start looking out the window, and then I forget what I was supposed to be thinking about. I know it seems like I don't care, but I do. It's just difficult for me. Love you, Mom. Bye.
Join parents and experts at Understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition.
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day,
even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You know how it goes. You're working on a grievance, filling out paperwork. A phone call comes in. Somebody's got a problem. You get distracted. When you finally return to your office, there's a stack of messages to deal with. Two people waiting to see you. Pretty soon, that grievance you were tracking, gone. But now there's LaborTrax, the software solution for unions. LaborTrax standardizes and streamlines tracking management and contract compliance. Your work in progress is always at hand. Learn more about LaborTrax at www.labortrax.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That's for sure. We enjoy your company. In studio today, we've got Rosemary Trump.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. And Charlie McAllister.
Great to be here.
Stolen machinist.
Yes.
Ex-machinist. Guys, you know, we've been talking a little bit about, refugees and so on and so forth, and it's a very important message. Rosemary, you know, we talk about, there have been some accidents. You know, horrific accidents where civilians die.
Well, just in the last few days, 36 civilians in the Yemen that were working in a bottling factory were bombed and killed and charred. And, of course, our team is basically saying, oh, no, they were building bombs in this factory. It wasn't a bottling factory. It was, But the fact is, it was, Amnesty International says it was a bottling factory, and 36 people lost their unnecessarily their lives. And so if we are wondering why all these people are risking, you know, getting up and literally just taking what they can hand carry and get on these overcrowded boats to flee their situation, I ask the following question. Who among us, who among our listening audience would want to stay in a community that had the fear of every day of bombs raining from the sky and or bombs blowing up around you? Who would want to have to fear that for themselves, their family, their loved ones, or their children? And so if we are wondering why these people are leaving these countries to seek asylum in Europe, then, you know, it's time for us, since we are creating the situation over there, to take responsibility for it. And again, I say, it's up to us to help those people that we are victimizing, because those 36 civilians are as much of a war casualty as anyone on the front lines carrying a gun and being shot or killed. And it's not just collateral damage. I mean, we have a plan, and our plan is to bomb wherever we think there is a potential enemy. Well, how can we really identify and only take care of our potential enemy? Because for every one of those civilians that we killed is creating new enemies.
But Rosemary, I want to make a clarification on that. I agree. The civilians that get killed in a war zone, that's detrimental to them, their families, and it creates more headaches. The Saudis were the ones who conducted this airstrike. It wasn't an American airstrike. And it's in Yemen. And it's not directed at the fight against ISIL or anything else. This is a thing that the Saudis are doing in conjunction with their allies. And this is not related to American efforts. Okay? And I want to clarify that. I mean, the Saudis are a sovereign nation. They're the ones who did it, and we shouldn't take responsibility for it.
Except that we are arming them and the means on which they're using. I mean, I agree with you. No,
okay,
that is a separate...
That's a completely separate issue, and we've armed everybody else there too.
Yeah.
You know?
And for some reason, there was a bomb that exploded near the U.S. Embassy, evidently by mistake that it didn't hit the U.S. Embassy. I mean, so for some reason, you know, they associate us as being, I mean, it's sort of like, Charles, I don't disagree with you technically that it may have been the Saudi planes, but again, that's sort of the excuse that McDonald's says to a franchisor.
I disagree.
And you're allowed to disagree.
And we can have a robust discussion about that. But my point is Saudi Arabia does what they want to do. We have supplied Saudi Arabia. We supplied Iran. We supplied Iraq. We have supplied Syria. We have supplied Israel. I don't know of anybody there at one time or another we have not supplied.
Right, which is, I think, the...
Because I got to tell you, Charlie, when I went into Iraq in 1991, I was fighting against U.S.-made military weapons, artillery pieces, and other pieces, okay? So because we supplied Saudi Arabia for its own defense, okay, does not mean that we are culpable for their actions. I'm sorry. I do not agree, because if Saudi Arabia was a terrorist organization, yeah, I'll take that bite. But if Saudi Arabia buys the equipment and we supply it to them to protect themselves or to reduce their stress level or whatever, I don't think we're necessarily responsible for their actions any more than we are for the Canadians, who we have also supplied weapons to.
But I think the thing that unites the two of you is what Rosemary started with at the beginning, is that to think that we can solve the world's problems by military action
providing
arms to everyone, which is, I think, the Cheney argument that we need, or the Republican
Basically,
Party's general
he's saying,
argument that
get
we...
Rid of, you know, get rid of the sequestration, rebuild the army, and start going back again. I mean,
And I don't agree with that by any stretch of the imagination. And I've articulated that point, and I've articulated the point to you that when we went into Afghanistan, we shouldn't have been taking the military in there. We should have been building schools and hospitals.
Absolutely.
And if we would have built schools and hospitals, the average person in Afghanistan would have said, hey, you know, these Americans, they're not too terribly bad.
Right.
Oh, they're having a problem with those guys up in the hill? We'll take care of that for you.
Right. And the Taliban are a bunch of idiots who are imposing an extremist view on our families and our...
We're robustly agree with each other on this.
Well, precisely. And so... The military budget, which is over 50 cents of every tax dollars that's collected by the federal government, should be spending money on roads and bridges and hospitals and education and schools and sewer systems and clean water and locks and dams and both in our country and in their countries over there,
right.
Rather than creating more opportunities to have disagreements and shooting it out. And if it's our policy to supply weaponry so that people can shoot it out, what I'm saying is then it's also our responsibility to aid and abet the evacuation of people that could be collateral damage in that dispute, to have a reasonable way for them to be relocated.
I agree. It's the United States' responsibility, or the responsibility that we've accepted for ourselves, to be humanitarians and to go into places like that and to go into places and assist others. And, you know, sometimes we get our teeth kicked in doing that. I'm thinking about Somalia, or, you know, in other places we've done a really good job of helping out. And I don't think that those two are mutually... you know, separate, but, you know, for us to take responsibility for the Saudi Arabians in dealing with part of what their culture has been fighting for over 1500 years, just because we sold them the plane, I don't think so. Because we, you know, we have not looked at them and said that they're a terrorist country. We have not looked at them and said that your intentions are bad. We may not agree with it. We don't agree with everything that Israel does, but we supply Israel. We can go on down the road of everybody we've supplied weapons to and not agree with them at some time or another. But that doesn't mean that we terminate a relationship with somebody we don't agree with. That's one issue. That's just me. I look at it a little different.
I say, let's bring back the role of the United Nations and start resolving these issues diplomatically rather than force of arms.
With you 110%. With you 110%. And, you know, I love this country, and I believe in an affirmative defense of this country, and I believe in a proactive defense of this country. But I'm also a huge fan of not going to war. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. Don't want my kids to do it. Just saying. We got to take a short break. Come back. We'll talk some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
A dozen people in Chicago are entering day 16 of a hunger strike to save Diet Public School. They worked for years on a proposal to transform the school into one that meets community needs, but say the Chicago Public Schools and Mayor Rahm Emanuel are ignoring them. G2 Brown is one of the Diet Dozen hunger strikers.
We are in this hunger strike because we've been rendered voiceless by Chicago Public Schools and the Mayor Rahm Emanuel. There's enough money in this country. There's enough money in the education system to make sure that every child is given the opportunity to stand on their parents' shoulders. And that's what we're fighting for. And if people want to help, they can go to Twitter, use the hashtag #FightForDiet. You can call Mayor Rahm Emanuel at 312-744-3300. Tell him that the nation is watching him and that you support the community that's hunger striking for Walter Diet Global Leadership and Green Technology High School. Tell him to end the hunger strike by giving that school to the community now.
On Monday, clergy called the moral question about Mayor Emanuel's refusal to entertain the Diet proposals and end the hunger strike. Reverend Robert Jones, pastor of Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Chicago, is one of the hunger strikers.
There were a number of clergy from different faiths that came together and called on the mayor to do the right thing for the community. There are people from all other communities that are coming out. There are people from all over that are really supporting us on social media. We have a tremendous community support for what we want to do.
Both Brown and Reverend Jones say they are tired of the double standard applied to communities of color and to predominantly white middle-class communities by Chicago Public Schools and the mayor, and they want an elected school board to make sure people of color in Chicago are no longer disenfranchised when it comes to education. SEIU says Fort Lauderdale, Florida airport workers fighting for living wages will rally Tuesday at the Broward County Commission. The union says the workers will protest labor violations by airline contractors. Fort Lauderdale airport workers have struggled for more than 2 years trying to organize for living wages and better treatment on the job. SEIU says the workers have been met with intimidation and bullying. The airport service workers make an average of $8.14 an hour, according to SEIU, and are excluded from Broward County's living wage ordinance.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It was the spring of 1977. Four friends put up $800 apiece to start a screen printing shop to serve local businesses, anybody that wanted their logo to be seen on a t-shirt. One day they happened to call on a local union hall, where the business agent asked, "Are you guys a union shop?" Well, that same day they joined the Painters Union, committing themselves to doing the right thing. Today, Image Point is proudly American-made and union-made. They serve unions coast to coast with printed t-shirts, hats, and jackets, and hundreds of custom imprinted promotional items. Tell your business agent or local president, orders start as low as 36 items. The company is called Image Point. Check out their 100-page color catalog of printed wearables and promotional items. It's available right now when you visit imagepoint.com. That's image, P-O-I-N-T-E.com. Mention this ad and get a 10% discount.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. In studio today with me, we've got Rosemary Trump and Charlie McAllister. Guys, welcome back.
Great
Thank
to
you,
be
Charles.
Here.
Always, always a pleasure to have you here. Are we really going to talk about Donald Trump?
Well, maybe we should continue a bit. I think it ties in very much to the Republican attempts, the various people want to be president of the United States. And this whole idea, which is very much the Dick Cheney and others pushing very hard on American exceptionalism. And you know, we might think of exceptionalism. Boy, I wish we were exceptional in justice. We were exceptional in peace. I wish we were exceptional in the quality of our manufacturing, exceptional in our infrastructure, etc. But what they mean is that God is on our side. We have a manifest destiny to tell the world what they're going to do. We should increase our military power so that we can dominate and control what's going on in the world. And this is a very, very dangerous and tendency that's being pushed very hard by our Republican friends, I guess we call them. But it is, as Rosemary said, I think with the whole issue of global warming, fossil fuels, which are causing, you know, Baghdad never had 120 degree temperatures. Most of the summer has been between 110 and 120. I experienced 120 once, and I'll tell you, it is a devastating experience. And to have it day after day with no relief, and on top of that, to have the devastation of war and the disruption of populations and the genocide that's going on because of the violence and war is pushing all this terrible, terrible refugee crisis that we have in Europe. And so far we've been spared relatively. What has happened with Mexico is very small scale compared to the desperation that is going on in Europe. But if things continue with the disruptions in the climate, et cetera, and disruptions in food production, we're going to see a world that is in deep trouble and is not going to be healed by more arms and more bombs and more warfare. It's going to be healed by cooperation, by unionization, by solidarity, and by us all pulling together to restore nature and stop exploiting and destroying it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, we've got some very, very serious things that we need to talk about. The president's making the move in the right direction when he's talking about, you know, smog control, for lack of a better word. The naysayers are out there. They're out there aggressively with cable ads, so on and so forth. But it's not just here. It's everywhere. And quite frankly, when it's 120, you know, that Charlie, that you're right. That is a very special kind of hot.
It is.
And you know,
burn your hand, you touch an automobile.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, people who are used to hot, you know, that's a special kind of hot.
Yes,
and you know, it's people are not designed to deal with that kind of stuff. And we're seeing it elsewhere. I mean, you know, when New York City, London, and Miami are all under 3 foot of water. Maybe some of our Republican friends who have invested, you know, 10 miles inland for waterfront property are going to be happy, but I don't think everybody else is going to be happy.
That's for sure. And no, we really need to reverse course to look at the causes of what's going on and stop.
We know what the causes are. I mean, you know, we do. And the president was right when he said, you know, you can continue to deny, you can continue to keep your head in the sand. But quite frankly, it's not helping. We need to do something. And, you know, the supporting solar, supporting wind. And don't give me this tired old rhetoric. Oh, the wind doesn't blow all the time and it's nighttime. You know, no, don't give me this. You know, it's silly. It's tired. It's old rhetoric. And, you know, it's like saying big union bosses. Oh, unions are, you know, really? So let's get on to what we need to do. And then... you know, continue as we need to, because there is still a demand for coal fired. There's still, I get it. I understand. But it doesn't mean we can't do it the best way we can do it now.
Right.
And as we're phasing it out, not only make sure that we're doing the right thing by the atmosphere and everybody else, but let's make sure that we're doing the right thing by the employees.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's make sure that we've got good quality jobs in their neighborhood.
Right.
Get them trained. Take over their pensions. Take over their health care.
And work with the institutions that have protected them and trained them. And
right.
We need to respect the union structures that we have, and that these are the best ways, as Germany has shown, to have strong unions, strong apprenticeship programs. That's the way forward for a high road economy that helps everybody. And their ability to absorb as many immigrants as they have is a sign of the kind of health of the economy that they have created there, and the compassion, I think, in many countries in Europe. I mean, they're trying. Poor Greece, which has been taking such a beating, it's heartwarming to read in these islands how many of the people are coming forward and sharing what they have with right. these poor Syrians and other refugees.
Most people, and Europeans get it, because, you know, the way the border system is and the way they, you know, Europe's, you know, people have gone back and forth through Europe for a very, very long time. They get it, they understand it, and they know how to deal with it, and they're doing a very good job of doing that. You know, Germany has pretty much said, look, if you are a political asylee, right. come on in.
Yep.
And Germany's already done things like, if you want to come to school in Germany and get your bachelor's degree, come on in. It's free. We'll get you the right permit to come in as a student. You can go to school for free. You want to work while you're going to school? Go ahead. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and here in the United States, the perception is okay, you can pay to come to the United States schools. And when you graduate, if we like you, we'll staple a green card to your diploma. And we'll let you work for us at a reduced rate. You know, we're not going to pay you a good rate. We're going to pay you a reduced rate for as long as, you know, you're willing to be capitalized. You know, that's what we're
right.
talking about.
Yep.
You know, so it's a world of difference in attitudes, and it's a world of difference, and it's unfortunate.
Well, it's not really not constructive
no,
for all the Republican candidates to be basically denigrating immigrants as a core piece of their message.
Right. I mean, look at my favorite tri-national senator, the guy from Canada who's got a Cuban father and a mother who was a Canadian citizen. And we don't still know if she renounced her American citizenship. I tend to doubt it. But if she renounced her citizenship of the United States and took Canadian citizenship and said that's all she wants, guess who's not an American citizen and guess who doesn't get to stay in his Senate seat? Let's talk about Rubio. His parents came to the United States. They were not American citizens when he was born. So if you take away the 14th Amendment, guess what? Rubio's out of there too. How many times have we had our Republican friends jumping up and down and saying, oh, we've got to change that citizenship requirement so Arnold Schwarzenegger can run for president? Really? Really? These are the same people that go out of their way to make sure that companies that are campaign contributors can continue to hire undocumented aliens and bring them into the United States and work them without paying taxes or health care or anything else.
Right.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge of Labor's Talk Radio.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace. Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
They'll challenge your authority because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America.
Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. In studio today, Rosemary Trump.
Thank you, Charles.
Always a pleasure. And Charlie McAllister.
Great to be here.
Guys, thank you. It's always a pleasure and an honor to have you here. All right, the clown car.
Well, I think, you know, everybody knows that Donald Trump is causing a lot of waves and more than ripples, that's for sure. But it also
winning.
Great heartburn to the Republican Party.
Yeah. I mean,
and there was a long article in the New York Times about all the various extreme right-wing groups, Nazis and racist groups all around the country, really rallying very strongly to his message, anti-immigrant message. And then today, the article was about Trump's left-wing stances in terms of he's picked up in many ways and more forcefully than the whole Obama ideas of having progressive taxation, particularly going after hedge funds managers and making them pay more, going against companies that are exporting jobs and forcing them to pay more taxes. Three different types of taxes. This is a word that gives heartburn to every...
You see Grover Norquist have the stroke?
Okay. Well, it has to, but I think, you know, what it says to me, though, the danger of this is very much like what Hitler did when he in his rise. On one hand, he has the internal enemy, the betrayers of the nation who betrayed us in the war, or the Jews, or the communists, or whatever. But on the other hand, you have this kind of populist socialist, so-called national socialist thing, where the enemy is the crooks and the big guys, and we're gonna knock heads, and we're gonna make them live under our rules.
But Charlie, it worked, and it pulled the population together, and he gave them a number of targets other than himself.
Yep.
To go after, and he encouraged them to go after it. And, you know, it pulled all the wackos out of the woodwork.
Yep.
And guess what? Trump's pulled all the wackos out of the woodwork.
He sure is. But this is very smart, taking this kind of left-right message, which really should make the Democrats think really hard about starting to really push a hell of a lot harder on the populist agenda than they have been. I mean, it is absolutely clear to almost everybody in this country that inequality has gotten to such an extent that it's totally unreasonable, untenable, and counterproductive to the future of this country. So something real has got to be done. And it's time for us to really look at, you know, taxing the hedge fund managers, having a progressive tax, and taking some steps against companies which are just outsourcing every job they can get they can possibly do,
right,
to make a few more bucks. These are very popular issues, and it shows that this guy Trump, although we tend to laugh at him, he's not laughable. This is starting to take on a life that is of its own that could be extremely dangerous for the future of the country.
I agree. Rosemary.
Well, you know, and one of the things that I'm concerned about is the general reaction that, oh, well, he's not one of the Washington people or one of the government types,
yep,
you know, that he's a, you know.
No, he's a Wall Street type.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a real estate tycoon is what he is. And, you know, we want something new and we want something fresh and something different. But, you know, governing a nation and governing, international relations takes experience and takes, it takes years to understand how government works, what the role of the executive is, the role of Congress, the role of the judiciary, the role of state governments, the relationship between the federal government and the state government, the role of agencies. He has spent all his time figuring out how to make money, to make money in real estate, to make money in television and talk show host. Where is the depth of his understanding of the process of government? And this whole business that he sells of, you know, well, I am, you know, I'm rich, so I'm not beholden to anybody's interests. By the way, he's beholden to none of our interests. And that's what, you know, a democracy is where an individual is to respond to the needs and desires and try to figure out a way to do balance and compromise among all of us, the interest of all of us, and to listen to every point of view. That when you're an elected official, you're just not an elected official if you're a Republican to represent Republican interests, because, you know, Democrats and independents and other parties are also a part of this nation and have a right to still be heard and have their concerns still articulated, and vice versa, by the way.
Yes.
If it's a Democrat, they have to listen to Republicans. And so the fact that, you know, people are intrigued by the fact that he's such an independent individual because he's so wealthy and he has nothing to do with the government, how is that a plus? How is that a positive? How is that a credential for being president of the United States?
Well, Charlie?
But it's absolutely true. I think, various interviews have been done recently with people in New Hampshire and in Iowa, and that's what virtually everybody says, is that they're so tired of the canned presentations, the very, carefully constructed things that don't say much. And I think on the right wing, it's even more extreme in many ways, because people pick up the talking points from Rush Limbaugh from that day. Whoever is putting it out, it goes, but virtually they're all, has been the effectiveness that they've had, is that they all pound the same issues at the same time. So there is definitely big money behind this, feeding them.
Yeah, they all get the same facts.
The line of the day, whatever it is. Well, what really, I think Trump is refreshing for so many people, is that he just speaks what he thinks, and that looks like, wow, somebody is telling us the truth as they see it. Even if they don't like things he's saying, they see it as being spontaneous and not scripted, and that has a big attraction in a country that is so inundated with ads all the time and this constant drumbeat of certain policy lines that are pounded on by the wealthy, no matter how they put it out there, either party, really.
Yeah.
I want to elect a representative, not a dictator.
Right.
I mean, where, you know, I've got all the answers. I don't need your advice. I don't need your input. I don't need your ideas. I know what's best because I'm wealthy. You know, and proof is the fact that I'm wealthy makes me smart and an expert on everything. I mean, we need to address this.
No, you're lucky, or you hired the right people. And those right people worked real hard for you, and they got you. Because, you know, they didn't do it themselves, and they just don't want to acknowledge that. And they want to look down on those people who have not been part of that team that has done it for somebody else.
But it's just a false to say that the system rewards intelligence necessarily.
No,
it's ruthlessness. It's competition.
Well, yeah.
It's playing the game and being extremely aggressive in doing it. That's generally what gets rewarded. It doesn't really have much to do with intelligence at all.
So that's where we're at on that. Rosemary, any final words? We got about 10 minutes left.
We're in a very difficult period of time, and I would just hope that the listening audience would pay attention to our current president and heed some of the issues that he's trying to deal with immediately and not just get caught up in the fever of 2016. We have a year and a half to go before our next presidential election, and we can do a lot of constructive, positive things during this period of time by continuing, you know, to pare down the military budget and putting money into infrastructure, mm-hmm. both here and internationally, which would be growing jobs in a peaceful way, in a peaceful manner, and giving utility to our goods and services as a world in a positive fashion. Mm-hmm. If we can make our water clean, our air cleaner, if we can build roads and bridges, if we can power our, harness the power of our sun, harness the power of our wind, which are sustainable, we need to be doing those projects today, tomorrow. And we need to be focused on today and tomorrow and not, you know, the reordering of the world after the 2016 elections.
I agree. Charlie.
Like I said before, what we need to be is exceptional in the quality of our production, the quality of our life. As an example to the world, we need to be exceptional in seeking justice and seeking peace, and the United States then will have the much more impact than they will by sending bombs and bombers and trying to control the world. We need to help develop the world.
Oh, I agree. And that comes back to what should we have been doing in Afghanistan?
That's right.
Building houses, yep. Building schools, yep. Building hospitals and such. You know, and that goes back to the old days. What does labor want?
Yes.
Labor wants more schools and less prisons.
Right.
We want more books and less vice, you know.
Right.
I didn't get that quote right. I'm sorry.
But you got the idea, right?
Yeah, I get the idea, right. You know, and it's funny because everybody I talked to, especially the last couple of weeks, you know, we're seeing large growth in organizing here in Pennsylvania. They're seeing it in Kentucky and Ohio and Michigan. Michigan actually has on the plate right now in the House, the Senate, repealing right to work. Is it going to get through? Probably not. Not right now, but that fight is still going on. Every time the Mackinac Center and the National Right to Work people and the Koch brothers go out and say, okay, we're going to take this group's right to organize away, they stay. They stay organized. They stay with their union. And, you know, we're seeing growth. We're seeing the right polling data. We're seeing the right tabs. The 18 to 29-year-olds, they get it. They understand it. They agree with it. They like it. They support it. 18 to 29-year-olds. When was the last time an 18-year-old was thinking about the job, much less a union on the job?
Well, the only way that the interests of the 99% are ever adequately represented and articulated and protected and secured is with a trade union movement, a strong labor movement in those countries.
Absolutely. And we've got to get going. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Kerr. During a press conference with Republican frontrunner Donald Trump, Univision anchor Jorge Ramos pressed Trump on his promise to forcibly remove undocumented immigrants from the United States. Trump's initial response was to have security escort Ramos out. His ejection from Trump's press conference garnered national headlines and was roundly condemned by Spanish-language media. But the reaction among right-wing media personalities has been to instead attack Ramos for speaking out of turn. Here's Howard Kurtz from Fox News' Media Buzz.
Just to be clear, Jorge Ramos is the chief anchor of Univision.
That's right.
Chief news anchor, which is the largest Spanish language network in the country.
Right.
And so he clearly has opinions on this issue, but he's not paid to go and disrupt events. I mean, I thought at times he seemed like a heckler.
Actually, I have to
like
say.
Like a heckler.
But Kurtz was just the tip of the iceberg. Ramos asking tough questions about Trump's immigration plan during the press conference have been widely criticized at Fox News, including on Fox News' Hannity and the O'Reilly Factor. For more on this and other stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.